My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Jason Roy, people are upset with Jason for digging up the past and all the other stuff. Yeah, you know, your Browns fans are getting ready for a season. I can understand that. We'll have Jason on later on this week. I think he's, on vacation or something.
Oh, you think the timing bothered some people as they're getting excited about the Browns resuming action at Greenbrier?
I'm seeing people posting, got a training camp ticket, here we go! Jason comes in, playing the victim. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Jason. There we go.
Not only that, I know you want to move on. The thing about Flacco and how the offense took, and this became a huge debate online with Browns Twitter. Did the offense really take off with Joe Flacco? Was it really that different? Did it have to do with the defenses? You know, there was just a lot of that bringing back up the stuff from last year.
Yes.
Which people don't want to do in August.
No, they don't. They do not want to do. I mean, again, I like Joe Flacco. He's a nice guy. Can't believe him saying that. What a wild year last year was. You know, we talked to him face to face. He was really nice to you and I. And I wish Joe Flacco success. I don't believe the offense was this juggernaut that people make it out to be. I think there were a couple of plays that Amari Cooper made for him. I think that two pick sixes is what helped really bury. I know our defense was looking for answers. And I can't sit there and tell you with confidence, though, that all those things I just said about Joe Flacco that Deshaun Watson would fix. And it's not because of allegations where we turned into court TV 2.5 years ago. I think he responds when he said what he said on Friday, the cussing and the so-and-so. I think he's responding to what's going on right now. Where people, you go by any ranking, people have him 23rd, 24th, 25th.
It's an afterthought.
Back end of the quarterback carousel, back end of the quarterback ranking. And you could say, I don't care. I'm worried he does. I'm worried the people around him do. That's what I worry about. Because we ain't going anywhere unless he's cocky and arrogant and confident. Unless he knows that he can lead this football team. Unless he trusts Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey with this offense. Like, we have to understand this. You could sit there and say, he needs to do this. He needs to be confident. Because if he's not confident, there are confident men on every defense in this NFL season, and they will swallow him whole and make fun of him while they do it. These guys are friends. I know it. And we make fun of it all the time. These are guys who want to get paid, and they get paid making plays, and they are killers. And they go after you every single down. They do not care I know that we talk about, well, let's just put flags on them. They will do everything they can to embarrass you. We saw it ourselves. You will never forget Johnny Manziel turning around on play action and seeing 14 Cincinnati Bengals there in his face, and Wallace Gilberry doing the money sign over top of him after a sack where they beat you 30-0. He had, what, 50 yards passing? Mm-hmm. They will do everything they can to make their name off of yours. And he needs to be confident that he can beat all those guys who are trying to get him every single play.
I'm trying to think of an equivalence here. Like, in maybe I can't even find it to that level, because who is as good as he was in the NFL? Not like, oh, he was good in college, but then he was, yeah, that's Johnny Manziel. No, somebody that was unbelievably good. The only thing I could come up with was an NBA example, which is like Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook was a top five player in the NBA for like 7 years. And now he's just kind of like a joke to a lot of people. Like, should he even start in the league? Like, that's got to be tough on somebody like that. Well, imagine Deshaun Watson, you're a quarterback, and you are traded, and you are given the biggest guaranteed deal in league history. You've got owners that are rallying to bring the commissioner in on this to make sure that this doesn't set a precedent.
Yeah.
You've got the public that is furious over all your baggage, which was still being worked out at the time. It wasn't even completed at the time they make that move. And so now they've turned on you because he was one of the bright young kids in the league. And now you've got the public turned against you to the point where it's a national story. Every night was on network news. That's got to be rough. Like, you can't dispute the human element there.
And I'm concerned about the confidence level. And I don't know if we are not going to get a strong answer about that. Like, if he plays in the preseason, which I know that some people have very strong opinions against, and we'll play that out as time goes on. But part of me hopes he does so he can build that confidence as best he can to get ready for the regular season. James on the east side, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing okay, James. Go right on ahead, friend.
Guys, you sound like the pallbearers to a funeral. You know, Deshaun Watson got a lot of rust on him, and like those statues in Cleveland that are green and tarnished, they got to be wiped off. And the only way it's going to be done is he get his ass out there and play.
Well, that's what I just said.
Well, guys, you're sounding in, and I listen to you all the time. It's like Deshaun Watson has not been on the field. We've not seen anything out of him. You know, but the little examples that we've seen, and while in practice, it doesn't make a difference. When it's game time and it's time that counts, if he's out there playing, then we'll see what he's
about. So you're not concerned about his confidence? Hold on, James. You're not concerned about his confidence at all?
Oh, hell no.
What makes you confident?
Hey, he has the ability.
I know he has the ability.
And James. It's a put up or shut up deal.
James.
Either put up or he'll be put out.
So, wait, him knowing he has the ability and not being able to fully harness it, whether it be injury or whatever, okay, and that frustration, and then you telling me it's a put up or shut up deal, that makes.
He's a pro athlete.
There's plenty of pro athletes who are on their way out, James. That doesn't make you confident. These are not reasons to be confident. You're not giving me real reasons.
You're not confident, and so you're trying to sell. Oh, you got to be. He has to be confident. Hey, this is a grown man. You know, put on your grown man pants, play the game, and then we'll discuss his abilities.
Does talking tough and telling him he needs to be a grown man and put on his grown man pants, does that make you confident in him?
You don't have to tell him that. You have to, you know, make a whole show about, his confidence. What are you,
I'm making about 20 minutes out of it.
That position, don't you think confidence is a big part of sports at the highest level?
Individual practice to play their game. Okay,
you couldn't be more wrong, James. You couldn't be more wrong. You know a quarterback needs to be confident. Come on, don't lie to yourself.
You know what? You're trying to play psychiatrist. Are you a psychiatrist?
Hell no, but I'm a sports talk radio show host, and I'm afraid that he has a confidence issue.
Talk about his sporting ability. Talk about his throw, his release. Don't be talking
about
that.
Yeah, that's the thing. None of that stuff looks like it used. But none of that stuff that you just mentioned, James, have looked remotely like it looked in Houston.
James, if he's not confident, none of that matters.
You haven't seen him. He's set out for 3 years now. Come on. It's time to play.
So that would give you all the confidence of the world because he sat out for 3 years in his prime?
He's aged like wine, and so it's time. If he's good, then, you know, we'll get behind him. But if he's not, we're going to, hey, boo him and get him out of here. Shoot. You know,
but that doesn't make you. You're talking about James. Thank you for the call. You're talking about booing the guy and getting him out of here. That does not make you confident. That's not a confident call. That's not confident.
I just think it's been night and day. Like even if
how could it not be?
Even if you want to say and what you should say if you want to call up and debate and say, well, he looked pretty confident in the second half last time we saw him in Baltimore, and I'd give you that. He looked amazing in that game. He was banged up,
and I think that's part of the reason he's frustrated. Because I think that in his mind, and I shouldn't say him in his mind, because it's probably true, that he was able to harness something in the second half of that game. He played his game, and then he gets injured, and he's out for the rest of the season. And then what's he have to do but to sit there and try to recuperate? I mean, we're talking about him taking trips to Saudi Arabia, for crying out loud, here in this article. Like, there's a lot of things. It's like, what else is he supposed to answer to? Okay? So all these things are being brought up, and I'm going, I don't know. When I heard that audio, I'm thinking more of the stuff that's been said about him this year. The things about the Baker or Deshaun stuff that's been said on national television that we've tried to avoid because immediately makes people roll their eyes. The stuff about whether or not he's still not even just an elite quarterback, a quarterback that could start in this league and finish an entire season. If I were Deshaun Watson, that would bother me. That would bother me.
It's just got.
How does it not?
It's got to be weird because I agree with one thing the caller last said. Like he did have it. He has all the ability in the world. If I didn't think he had the ability in the world, it would sound like a funeral. I would tell you right now. I would be screaming at all of you how bad he is and how they need to move on. How they need to not worry about the contract and just move on. And the team is just wasting Myles Garrett's prime. But I'm not saying that because I do think he has talent. I do think he still has it. He did show glimpses of it. The question is, can he do more than just show glimpses? And can he stay healthy? Can he operate this new offense that we don't even know what it's going to look like?
I don't know.
Can he read defenses? Can he process? Can he feel comfortable in the pocket again? Can he bring back that confidence, that swagger?
And
I have seen no swagger from Deshaun Watson. And I don't mean by, like, did he get a game ball after throwing 150 yards against the Baltimore Ravens that first year? That's not swagger. That's not the swagger that I've seen. Yeah.
Oh,
that's not the swagger that I'd seen in Houston that I was going on these same mics during this same time slot.
Oh, you were
and
killing
going,
me.
I'd rather have
you
that guy.
You were killing me. Because you wanted him. You wanted to take him number one overall. In the Miles draft, you wanted to take him number one. You wanted to trade up and then take him. And for a while, you looked like you were right. And I now, because he's the quarterback of the Browns, I want you to be right again. Like, there's no rooting against him. I cannot stress this enough. I know that people like to just say the media is rooting against everybody and that we don't want anything good. Guys, I've been through it. They went 0-16. They went 1-15. They went 1-15. Then they went 0-16. And while they did it, they put all these guys that you all wear their jerseys on this roster. I do not want them to have to part with these guys after one playoff win. We did all that for one playoff win. We went through 8 years. Miles is in his eighth season. We went through 8 years of this for one playoff win. I don't want that. 8 years of your life. My son was a baby. My oldest, my other two weren't even born yet. Lima hadn't even met his wife. He was still doing God knows what with God knows who. You were still on your first marriage. Mitch was still in high school. I don't want to dedicate 8 years of our lives to one playoff win.
Mitch,
say whatever you will about him. Damn it, I need him to play well. I want him to play well. It is not a rooting against. Hell, if anything, I'll try to talk him into it and have a pep rally if I have to. Because I can't see a future Hall of Famer like Myles Garrett being on our team for eight seasons and getting one playoff win. I can't see a guy who, if the running back position wasn't degraded so badly, should be a possible future Hall of Famer at the running back position and only have one playoff win. I don't want to see a hometown guy like Denzel. I don't want to see Joel Bitonio, who's, by the way, I know not a lot of people are talking about. He's a year-to-year, game-to-game guy now because of the injuries that he's stacked up over his career. I don't want to see him have one playoff win. I mean, it is a personal thing. And I don't want to see the fans or the people who have been listening to us just as long as this organization has been together as they currently are only have one playoff win and have to go through all that. Think of everything you've been through for one playoff win. They traded away one of your favorite quarterbacks. They did. And you and I advocated for it at that time. We did. There's dirt on our hands and under our fingernails on that. Absolutely. I don't want that to happen for one day. For one day in Pittsburgh, it was a great day. Yeah. But it can't just all be about that. So, damn it, I don't know what it is. He has to harness it, find it, and go this year.
And by the way, Baker Mayfield has 2 playoff wins.
You don't need to add that at the end of the thing.
I'm sorry.
You wanted him out, too. Did you want him out?
No, he has 2 wins now.
Did you want him out?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. You wear it too. Like a scarlet letter, like a cloak of failure. There's an opinion in there. And I'm very, very thankful. I'm very thankful that Andrew Berry gave it. I got one little counterpoint there. He says they're athletes, they're not gladiators. So if we do play in a dome, one little counterpoint, and I've been pro-dome. If you do play in a dome, should it be natural grass then, since the athletes have all...
They've all
been
said
very
it.
Big yeah. on natural grass. Should we then make, I mean, if we're going to spend $2.4 billion, I don't know how much it would cost to move in a 100-yard football field. Probably a lot more than I would imagine, but you want to do it? You're the one who said athletes. They're not gladiators. You okay with that, Tone?
Well, a couple things I'm curious about first.
One little thing there.
Do you think that Andrew Berry and his team of analytic gurus, the way they look at the game, the way they're looking for best practices, the way they're compiling all the data from every season, every team, including the elements. The Browns have played more bad weather games than I think everybody outside of Buffalo over the last decade. Do you think he's saying this because he feels that it can be a strategic advantage for a team if built the right way to play in a dome? Or do you think he's just carrying the water of ownership
time. No, I think a guy like him believes it. I think that they, I mean, they when they do the, he's a talent evaluator.
Yeah.
He's a guy who looks at all these metrics. He obviously, I mean, they don't do the scouting combine in Bering, Alaska. They do the scouting combine at Indianapolis in
yep.
a dome.
Yep. Pro okay? days, where are the pro days?
Pro days are in domes or indoor facilities. That's where they're at.
Where are the best players Field now? Houses. I know this is not something people want to hear in Northeast Ohio.
From the South.
The best players are from the
athletes,
South.
Best athletes yeah. are from the South. Now, I always tell you, you get a high school football player from Ohio, and at least he knows how to play the yes. game, and that's half the
yes.
battle.
Yeah.
But the best athletes if are you, from Georgia, if Florida,
you were to
Texas.
Poll, if you were to poll the players,
no, sometimes in Texas.
Where would they rather play?
Oh, in a dome.
So maybe I'm wrong. By the way, I don't have any evidence to back that up. I'm going on a gut feeling there. So I could be totally making stuff up.
But
I haven't seen any polling on that.
But I don't know if what he says as far as wins and losses.
Yeah.
How much water does it hold? Miami plays in a tropical climate. They fall apart every December.
Yeah.
Okay. The Buffalo Bills, you brought up the Bills. They still somehow found a way to win the division, even though they fired a coach halfway through the year and everybody wanted their head coach fired. And they play, obviously, in the Great White North. Baltimore, the weather isn't always great there in the wintertime. And Pittsburgh, I mean, the stadium in itself is fine. Don't get me wrong. The field looks like a junkyard by the time December rolls around because they have the high school games on there, Pitt plays on there, and then they play on there, and that county rules that stadium with an iron fist. And Pittsburgh makes the playoffs most years. So I can't, as much as I'm like, yeah, they're athletes, and I don't want them playing in the elements either, I'm going, well, does it have that much of a bearing on this? I don't think it does, Tone. Kansas well, City, I've been to Kansas City when it's been 10 below. It
yeah,
gets
I mean,
very cold in Kansas
the
City.
The one team that clearly, over the course of like 20 years, had the home field advantage was New England.
Yeah.
But they also had Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you asked Bill Belichick, like how much did they use the elements as an advantage? There, it seemed like teams would go in there totally intimidated, and it seems like those teams would buckle when it would get cold in January. But again, is it because they were going up against Tom Brady?
I mean, I want to say that there's a science behind it. I'm not sure how much of a science there is, and I know we want to get to this Naylor conversation here in a second. But I don't know how much there really is that I can put a thumb on and say, this is what wins football games, and this is why you need to pick a dome. The reason I want a dome is that my whole answer of it is simple. Okay? Ticket prices ain't going to go down. You're always going to pay a very strong price to go to an NFL football game. you might as well get what you're paying for and be comfortable. 537 can get mighty cold in December. 537 would probably be a lot more tolerable inside a dome. Doesn't make you any less tough.
What about crowd noise?
It would be louder in a dome.
Doesn't stand a reason that you could impact the game with a crowd more inside. And I know the old municipal crowds were loud. Imagine if there was a dome.
But you still remember you had the overhang that kept the noise coming in. So then you would have a hole. You would have a roof. Maybe a roof sounds better. And they could open it and close it, but most teams that have it retractable roof, they just leave it closed.
There would be one game a year in Syracuse where it would be a sellout, right? It'd be like the big team would come with Geno Smith in West Virginia. So it'd be a sellout, and it was deafening. Well, you and there were a fraction of the people.
You could still find the old Donovan McNabb games on YouTube where it was, and I was there for an Akron game once, and it was, that place hold 50,000?
Yeah.
There was probably 27, and it was still loud because it was indoors. Akron won that game, by the way. That was, those were some hard times, the daddy, for Syracuse football. But indoor, as far as a winning and losing type of thing, if you got a really good football team with a lot of really good football players, you're going to win. And the talent is going to travel in no matter what climate you have. I think that maybe heat affects people. I think that maybe cold affects people differently. But I think that's all different, and that's more of a crapshoot. New Orleans came here, they play in a dome, and they beat us.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In minus 20. Wasn't that the coldest regular season game on record? Minus 20. New Orleans came to town. They beat us 2 years ago. And it was very cold outside. Like, cars not able to start cold outside. And they were able to get that done. So I think some of it's a crapshoot. I'm glad he gave an opinion. But my counterpoint to that is like, hey, like, I agree. I just want fans to get what they're paying for. Prices are never going to get lower. They're always going to go higher. And I'm telling you, I don't know if it's ever happened in the history of this show where fans go, I went to a road game. I went to Indianapolis. I went to Minnesota. They're going to go to Las Vegas. They all come back going, yeah, we got to do it.
I think that's what's
changed. It changes their minds.
I really do believe that the people that have gone on the road with the Browns, and it seems like, especially lately, once the Browns became, they were the sleeping giant. Once they got good again,
yeah,
people were going to go with them wherever they went. And once they started coming back from Minnesota, once they came back from, and they've been to Indy for Big Ten championships or other events, once they got to experience Los Angeles, even though that's, you know, different scenario, but again, in Vegas yeah. this year, once they saw a taste of the good life, that is what changed, I think, the hearts and minds of a lot of these fans. Because if you would have told me that 10 years ago, really, when this station launched, almost 13 years ago, right?
Yeah.
When it launched, it felt like 90% of the fans were like, we are outdoor football town. We yep. are in
I
the elements.
I was one of them, too.
The Muni lot, which is out the window if they move to the Dome. I can't believe how many people have totally changed their thought on this in that time. I don't know if it's just the demographic shift, people getting younger, people just not wanting to be inconvenienced. And also, we have had bad weather game after bad weather game after bad weather game. I'll never forget some of the, I mean, Chicago last year wasn't even close to as bad as it could get.
Yeah.
But the what was it? Was it Christmas Eve? The Saints game? Wyatt Teller remembers that game.
Mm-hmm.
That game, how few people just wanted to even go to that game. And the Browns were good. And it was just miserable. It was totally miserable in that stadium.
You go back to 2020, though. Remember we had that terrible weather month where
three straight Sundays, it was good.
Yeah, but we had that bye week where it was actually sunny and nice.
Yep.
And then it was all rain and terrible and snow.
The Raiders.
Oakland.
Houston. Did Deshaun Watson play one of those games?
I think it went Philly, Oakland. We lost against Oakland because I remember I was at Tony's house. Then we had the bye week, and then I think it was Houston. Or I might have them flipped around. Either way, you had those three games. You won two of the three. Do you think the weather played a part in those wins?
Yeah, it was.
Because that was one of the things we brought up with Deshaun Watson when we were in the
Yeah,
and you were able to hand the ball off to Nick Chubb, and you were able to win those games. But a guy like Nick Chubb, I think Nick Chubb would play well on the equator. I think that Nick Chubb would play well in Alaska. Or in the Yukon, I think he would play well in Arizona if you played at Arizona. He's Nick Chubb. So, again, how much of a bearing does that have on things? If you have the talent, are you not going to win football games? I think Nick Chubb, can a guy like that take advantage of bad weather? Of course he can, but I think a guy like that can take advantage of good weather. There's something over the weekend that kind of got to me here. I didn't really pay that close of attention to it. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. Did you hear the rumors about Josh Naylor?
I saw some people alluding to those rumors.
So Josh Naylor was scratched, and Stephen Vogt said, well, he's banged up, you know, it's a rest thing. And the Guardians are so notoriously tight-lipped about injuries that I think some fans wanted to zig when they thought the Guardians were zagging. And they thought, oh my goodness, so they're going to trade Josh Naylor. And I thought, well, you're 20 games above 500. And I posted this yesterday on social media, and I didn't think that these people were stupid. I disagreed with them, but I wasn't going to be disrespectful to them about it because, hey, I like Josh Naylor a lot. I know he only has one more year arbitration. There were some people actually thinking about it going, well, you can get other first basemen. And he's injured a lot. Like, there was, as we get closer to a trade deadline, we're what, under 12 hours away from the trade deadline now? Like, there was this group of folks kind of like, well, wait a minute. Like, are they going to pay Josh Naylor? Are you going to pay a guy who has an injury history? Who's a bopper, but this and last year, the late last year and this year are the only times he's been a bopper. I know that July had been a rough month here and there. Like, there were some people kind of giving me an argument that they would trade or should trade Josh Naylor, where I'm going, I think he's a big part of the lineup. I don't know why they would trade Josh Naylor when they're 21 games over 500, not 22 games over 500, and still in the lead in the AL Central. Did you buy any of the thing about Josh Naylor?
No, I really didn't. I think it would be very, very surprising to me. Just part of it is the emotion of it. He's such a fan favorite. I'm sitting across from somebody who has labeled him the most interesting, entertaining player in baseball.
Who was the most entertaining player in baseball? So, I still think he is.
I imagine it'd be a very hard day for you to come in if they traded him tonight. I think it'd be really hard for you
tomorrow. I would wonder what you're... Well, remember, I've always said he's not the best player in baseball. People confuse that. I said he's the most entertaining player in baseball. Like, I would go to the ballpark to watch Josh Naylor, and I have before, to see Josh Naylor play, because he's a very entertaining, interesting player. Doesn't mean he's the best. And it doesn't mean he's completely off the trade block. But I would also think, well, wait a minute. If we're going for it, why would we create a hole where we really don't have a hole? Like, his history has been a little bit up and down, and part of that has been because of injuries. Yes, I can't deny that. But when you're 5.5 games up now in the division, and you're 22 games over 500, and you do have one of the best records in baseball, and he's an all-star and you have him to thank, I would just wonder, what are you doing? What's the end game here? Like, if you're trading Josh Naylor in a package for some unforeseen player that has superstardom that we can't even discuss, then maybe. But I'm going, your offense has been better than it should be. I know that it struggled here and there in the month of July. And they went through a nice valley in the month of July, or I should say a bad valley in the month of July. But I think he's been a big part of that lineup, and I don't understand that other than, well, he's up for a salary arbitration coming up again this year. Okay, so what? That's not my care. I got a competing team. The only thing I could think of is that people are trying to find any way to get their starting pitching. They know that there's maybe other prospects that they could bring up, but I really think it's cutting off your nose to spite your face. I mean, I can tell in your face, you don't want any part to do with that conversation at all.
No,
like, it's just a non-starter with you.
It'd just be such a surprise to me. That's why. I mean,
it'd be perplexing.
Now, if you're telling me all of a sudden we're getting, you know, something incredible back, for not only this stretch run and someone we had control over for next year and beyond. I mean, maybe you could convince me.
But if you're going to trade Josh Naylor,
I just don't see that happening.
Would the team trading for Josh Naylor have an eye to pay Josh Naylor? Would you assume?
Well, that's the other part of it. Like, what is his real worth on the open market? Because he's been such an inconsistent, fluctuating player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like we probably value him more than what other teams would.
Yeah, but that makes me wonder.
Not to mention, we have his brother on the team.
Exactly.
And so, and that seems like something that would matter to us more than it would matter to somebody else.
If somebody wanted to pay Josh Naylor, somebody traded for Josh Naylor to pay him some way, somehow, I go, well, why wouldn't we just pay him? And then I would go, well, where's this David Blitzer fella coming from that I don't hear about that's supposed to have this influx of cash? Yeah. We can't afford Josh Naylor because of David Blitzer here? Then what good are you to our organization then? Because I'm just a sports fan, and I want you to invest in our sports team. So it just, none of it really makes sense other than, yeah, he has been banged up. I can't deny that.
Does the Manzardo thing mean anything to you?
Not much. As far as Josh Naylor?
Yeah.
No. Josh Naylor's good to go in professional baseball. I got a guy who's contributed to this great record. That's, again, it doesn't add up.
Well, just because the point is, ever since the day that we got really excited about Manzardo, they're like, well, they're going to have to make a decision on Naylor.
Yeah, but then, I mean, I'm not giving up on Manzardo, but you're so good. Why would you give up on your veteran that you have now who's been a big part of your lineup? None of it makes much sense. If they were to make a move, I can't say I'd be mad. I'd be surprised, and I'd go, what's your end game? I'd be confused. And because of that confusion, I'd probably be mad because I'm a man.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Sorry. Doggone it. No, you go.
It's picture day here at the station, Kenny. Well, really, for all of our sister stations, and us.
Oh, we're all... Wait a minute. Are we, like, in line?
It's all... Well...
There is a schedule.
I think there is a schedule that's been emailed.
You want to play the picture schedule game?
I'm pretty excited, because I think the photo they've been using of us is from...
The one of the two of you together?
Yeah.
That's 2016.
Oh, my God.
And then the one of you individually is 2011?
Oh, that's old. That's old.
Yeah,
old,
I'd say
old.
So.
Still look good.
Oh, well, thank you, Kenny.
Yeah, I'll admit it.
So we had a problem.
You're 2011 when you look like you were 12.
Yeah, you did. You have a baby face.
I've done a lot of drinking since then. Yeah. And hopefully that's aged me.
So we got the notification of when we'd be getting our pictures taken. We were told very specific rules. No hats.
Let's see Owen. If that gets broken.
Mm.
Owen is wearing a hat right now.
Owen's wearing a hat.
What else? Did they say anything about sleeves?
Mitch, you look like an extra in a college movie from like the 90s. You look like a kid from PCU.
PCU, that's what I was gonna say.
There you go.
Yeah, you look like Jeremy Piven is about to say something snarky.
Piven's got a body double. That was you.
Which, by the way, go take a look at Jeremy Piven's hair in that movie.
Well, his
hair, all I'm going to say.
His hair's been on a wild ride.
Oh, yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Mitch. This is what you're wearing right now, that flannel. unbuttoned flannel over the T-shirt?
The flannel will be buttoned for the photo.
Okay. Oh, you're going to button the flannel nice. For the photo.
Yeah.
And you're getting rid of the frames?
Yeah, these are only blue light glasses. I don't need to wear them in the shot.
Where are the glasses? Where are the glasses for the photo?
Nah, I don't wear glasses otherwise.
But you look smarter, though.
Do I?
You're not dumb. You're a smart young man. If you want to wear glasses, wear glasses. You look good in the frames. I'm just saying. They're blue light glasses.
That's a jerk move, though, to wear glasses when you don't need them other than like when you're at the computer.
LeBron James did it for like 3 years. That's... No one called him a jerk. At least no one on this show.
Lots of people call LeBron James a jerk.
Yeah, it's not
the
on this show.
One guy did say he didn't put up the drywall.
That is true.
The equivalent of calling
him
a jerk.
Some people didn't
one
like
guy
that,
got through.
That LeBron was the flag bearer. They thought, wow, somebody who's voiced his concerns about certain things. Either way, Kenny, we're all like, you're not wearing your Iowa State stuff today, right?
No.
Like you're putting on something that you
I'm wearing
want.
I'm wearing a black button up, and I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah, so
which I usually do wear jeans, but still.
I made a mistake. I went to bed last night thinking, all right, I'll just figure something out in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just we were busy putting the kids to bed last night.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, in the morning. I forgot that all of my button downs are in the closet of Mason's bedroom. So that was completely ruled out this morning when I realized, oh, I can't risk waking up the baby, which would then really set off my wife.
Don't put your life in jeopardy with her.
Yeah, would have woken her up way too early and it would have ruined her day. I would have been hearing about it a long time. So I had to make do with whatever was in the guest bedroom.
So you're wearing a zip-up hoodie, which you're going to take off, obviously.
No, I got a sweater that I'm going to put above. Now, I have one of these collared shirts, these collared polos with the stiff collars.
See, I got one. My collar isn't stiff enough.
It didn't stay?
Mine's from the Shaquille O'Neal collection. I'm not kidding you.
I know exactly
it's
the collection you're talking about.
It's not a stiff enough collar, yeah.
I thought that was the whole point of what they marketed, was that the collars would stay stiff.
Mine don't.
Because as you know, like a lot of golf polos,
you
can't wear sweaters over that or anything because it's got the, the baby collar.
Fall down. Stiff. Yeah. No, mine was never, it was supposed to be stiff. It was never stiff. It's always been flaccid.
Okay. But I like what you're wearing.
Glad you worked that in.
Yeah.
You got a big tan.
Proud of myself.
So I wonder, are we going to have hair and makeup? Or are we going to do any of that?
I got makeup down the street, but it means I have to leave the premises and go get it. Because I do that. As tough as that is. But I'm not very good at blending it in. So I think I look like Mac and Dennis from Sunny in Philadelphia when they were the debutantes or whatever it was. So I don't know how that one's really going to work for me.
I just wondered if one of the ladies can help out.
If they
are involved in the shoot.
Well, I got to get, if Christy is listening, I do need hairspray and I need a comb. Or I should say a brush. I'm a brush guy. I need hairspray. Oh, and I need a blow dryer. And that's it. I don't need anything more than that. I don't need any mousse. I don't need anything else.
Mousse.
Because those pictures that we had from years ago, I remember we went to the 9
mm-hmm.
and you made the one joke. We were at the bar. There was no drinking, sadly. We were at the bar and you said that our boudoir shoots were coming up next, and I thought that was funny. I remember that. I remember you were very uncomfortable during the entire day, though. It was a very uncomfortable thing.
And then the pictures did not turn out well.
No,
at all.
No. Who took the pictures? Was it Daryl?
Was it?
The 2016 pictures I was not there for.
Oh, they're old.
That wasn't Katie. Katie was great at taking pictures.
Oh, my God. It was Katie. That's right.
Maybe just the lighting didn't work out that day or the filter
was
not.
I thought the pictures were fine. I remember I wanted to do different things and you were not down with it.
Oh, like wacky?
Yeah.
Wacky radio stuff?
Not wacky radio stuff. Kind of wacky radio stuff, but not like typical like...
Like take Abbott and Costello photos?
Yeah, but not like typical like backs against each other and we're like looking off in a different direction like, oh, I can't get a load of this guy.
Or the
like,
two of us in a boxing ring with our gloves on.
Do you want to do something where
the gloves have to come off.
They have to come off.
You and I are giving Mitch a weird look and he's like holding his hands up going, what do I do with these guys? Do you want to do something like that? And always just in the back giving a disapproving look.
Just two.
Hello, every day on the show.
Yeah. Just two wacky guys.
Just two wacky radio guys.
That would capture our essence.
The morning zoo, according to Frank Isola. I mean, why don't we just take pictures like that?
Well, somebody accused us that we were basically organizing a funeral earlier in the show.
Do you want to dress as pallbearers?
Let's go to a cemetery.
Okay. Which one do you want to go to?
Let's exhume a body. Let's do it the real way. Let's go.
Do you want to go stand at the Rockefeller Memorial?
It is a very nice
Can we setup. Lay in the daisies at least?
I mean, if you pay enough money, I'm Money talks. I'm sure they can, they'll let you do just about anything. But are you? So you're not going to run home and get a change of clothes?
No, I'm just going to go with this. I find it interesting, though. When I look outside, because I'm very into how society has definitely evolved on things like this. Is there a difference anymore between what you would wear to go out, what you would wear almost at a wedding, what you would wear to go to work, what you would wear to a big event? Like, it feels like everything is blended and everybody just wears the same thing.
Well, shouldn't I wear what, what I would wear people would expect me to see me out in? Like, when you say no hats, we all know who we're thinking of. Do I have to say it out loud? I guess I'll say it out loud. I'm not thinking of Owen. I'm thinking of Nick.
Oh, yeah. Nick wears the hat.
Nick always has the hat backwards and, like, low. Like, it almost looks like he's like a kid in Sandlot. Well, they're going to make Nick take off the hat. And my thought is, well, wait a minute. He does everything
that's
in a hat.
That's not how he you would so not see Nick does. In real life without it.
Aren't we supposed to be who we are?
There was a local... Well, you're always supposed to... You want it to look bigger and better, even though that's not what this show... That's not what we exude.
So that's what... We did have a failed attempt at pictures probably 2018. So we went over to the Cleveland sign.
Cleveland sign, yes.
None of those were good.
They did
I
not
think
come
that's
out.
The one that's actually on the website for me.
That's the one that...
I hate it. I'm wearing a shirt I don't like.
That's right.
I just want to wear my hat and my t-shirt that I've got on now.
Yeah. That's the one that...
That's what I look like. It's what I wear every day.
That's the one Same Barrett hat. Sports Media uses on me every time we make the 8 at 8. And that was the one that one morning host in Pittsburgh, who's no longer there... Remember they got some rumor started that I called Aditi fat?
Yes.
Which we have Aditi on at 9 o'clock, by the way.
And we'll ask her. Rumors. We'll finally ask her once and for all.
And I never called her fat. One day, I remember I pulled into the Browns. I checked my phone. I'm going, why am I getting cussed out on Twitter? What did I do? Like, I got nervous to go, did I say something wrong? Or did I do? And it was this guy. I can't even remember the guy's name, but he's like, this person called Aditi fat. I'm like, I didn't call Aditi fat. You nut job.
And
it was a bunch of people from Pittsburgh calling me fat, which, I mean, you know, whatever.
I love that.
The shoe fits.
You know, you could tell when any of the local, whether it's a news agency or whether it's any kind of a radio show or a podcast, when it's picture time or video promo time. There's a local affiliate, Kenny and I have laughed about this forever, where it was just a crew on the news going out for a night out in the town.
Playing some pool.
All dressed up and ready to go out and have some cocktails, right? Of course, all those people were gone from the station they like literally out. 4 months later.
They were morning news. They made it out to look like it was boogie nights.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Like they were getting bottle service and having a real night out. Should we do something like that?
You want to do that?
Should we recreate that? Now, that would be funny. It would only
do you
be
want
funny.
To recreate a scene from Boogie Nights, or do you want to recreate what we saw there?
It's kind of one and the same.
Okay.
I think
because I know under those jeans,
it would be
something special, just begging to get out.
An inside joke for just me and you, but I'll never forget that. And that was their version of Picture Day.
Yes, it certainly was a hell of a version. Okay, well, we're getting a picture. You're not going home. You're gonna wear that. Oh, and you're wearing that?
I plan on it.
You're looking good. Looking tough. Mitch, I don't know why you're wearing
shorts on too, guys.
You have shorts on?
I'm doing it all.
Now, are these full body?
Looks like how he looks. I don't really wear shorts, so I support you in looking how you want to look.
Thank you for supporting.
Yeah. You're my friend, Owen.
It's about time that, you know, a man can come into work in 2024 and look the way he wants to look and not be ridiculed.
Nobody dresses, but that's the thing.
Damn right.
Nobody dresses up anymore. They really don't.
Except me.
Very few occasions to dress up these days.
Or except anybody else when they're around Keith, because Keith will ridicule you. He's the marble mouth of Crawford County.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!